Well, hey, good morning. I get my shot this morning at sharing thoughts about the tangible kingdom, and just glad I get to do it. I've been feeling challenged by the book, probably like we all have. And this morning we're doing the subject of the gospel. As we all know, if you're doing the booklet, the workbook. How many of you guys have read the book, Tangible Kingdom book? A few of us. Yeah. I was excited about reading it until Paul shared his comment at our first meeting about how challenging it was. So I put it off for a long time and finally decided, well, maybe I would anyway. But he was right. It is pretty challenging. And things related to the gospel are perhaps some of its most challenging points. Really, I think that's the core of it. What he's trying to tell us, what these guys are trying to tell us about understanding the gospel. And that's where we're going to go this morning. So, maybe before we start, I'll just have one kind of introductory comment here. Most of us have had a chance to connect with Craig and Melissa, speaking of the gospel, our only Mountains West region missionaries. They're back on what missionaries get to do, things called furloughs. And actually, they're back kind of figuring out what God's next step is for them. And we're going to do a lot of talking about stuff going on. They're going to be here till June or around then. You've probably gotten to connect with them, but if you haven't, why, say hi to Craig and Melissa, and maybe at some point we'll get to hear some stories, which would be awesome. So, anyway, the gospel, whether it's on this side of the world or another side of the world, is really what God's called our life to be energized by. And so that's where we're going to go this morning, and I'm going to try to track with where I think the authors of this book would want us to go. And I appreciate what they want to try to bring us. My wife was poking around on the internet a little bit. You might have done this too. You know, there's a lot of negative websites about this book and this information. So that means it's either really bad or really good, one of the two. And I'm thinking there's a lot of it that's in that latter category. And I'm very thankful for what it brings. So let's just pray, and then we'll start. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, I praise you for what you've done, for the good news. And I just ask, God, that you would help us be better stewards of that good news this morning, that we would be the people that you want us to be. God, speak to our hearts. I just pray to speak to our hearts. Tell us what you want to tell us. I just thank you for that song about how you're a good father and you love us. And really, that's the gospel right there. And I just pray, Jesus, we'd hear from you, Lord. Help us to be good disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the idea of the gospel is something that generally we think we understand. And so what our book's trying to do is poke at us a little bit and make us think beyond that. And here's a quote from the book in a section entitled The Short-Sheeted Gospel. And he said this: "Do you think it might be possible that the primary reason Christianity in the West is in such marked decline is simply due to the fact that we don't know what the gospel is?" And then he goes on to say, "I know that sounds akin to telling professional basketball players that they don't know how to dribble, or a librarian that he doesn't read very well, but the church's results of getting positive responses out of our gospel presentations begs the question, do we actually know what the gospel is?" And I brought an example of the gospel. Forgot to bring it up with me. That I am very familiar with, and some of you guys are too, and it's right here. This is it. It's astonishing that you can get it all in one little booklet, but I have shared the gospel many times. And he is trying to challenge my understanding of the gospel. And so, being a professional religious guy, I'm a little offended. But I am willing to listen for a bit anyway. And I thought that I would walk us through a little bit of a couple of little thought exercises, because we know very well that the gospel is not as received in our culture as it used to be. You used to be able to have much more effective conversations. People used to be much more responsive. And we look out at the world and we see lots of reasons for that. We see there's this growing just secularism. There's a growing just movement toward all kinds of sexual immorality. There's all these things happening out there in the world that are moving people farther from the gospel. But honestly, and all those things are valid, real reasons why our world is changing. But I want to tell you what I honestly believe is 80% of the issue. And I think it's what he would want us to hear, what these guys would want us to hear, about why the gospel is not connecting with people's lives like it used to and like it can. And so let's do a couple thought exercises here. What does gospel mean? Gospel means good news. That's just what the Greek is, that the word for gospel is good news. So actually, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel in the Bible, but there's other gospel, there's other good news, there's a variety of things that can be good news. And so I want you to think of a time in your life, because we're going to create some analogies here. I want you to think of a time in your life where you felt like you really had good news for someone that you were excited about sharing with them. You can just remember this moment. Maybe you have it now. I mean, maybe you felt that way about the last Broncos game. Like, hey, I would love to connect and talk about that game. That was a really exciting game, and I'd love to vicariously experience that game again by getting to talk about it. An incredible finish at the end and all that stuff, and my hopes for the future. And I want to talk about it. And it energizes me. You may have some favorite store. You may have some favorite product. You may have some favorite thing. And when you're in that environment, when you're in anywhere there's an opportunity, you go, man, I want to talk about this. Ooh, I wonder if I'm going to get a chance to talk about this. Ooh, I wonder if I could bring this up. And it's right on the tip of your tongue and you're looking for a chance. Like, because why? Because, and that's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. You genuinely believe it's good news. You can share it in love, or you can create a community around it in love. You know, you love Peyton Manning. He is so amazing. And there is something that can be shared. There's a fellowship that can be brought together as you bring that. And it's like, this is not all the good news, certainly, but it is some good news, and that's why you're motivated to share it. Because it's good. It brings good. It brings life to talk about it. Now, sometimes what we think brings life isn't life at all. We can be really wrong about that. And of course, the world is wrong about that. But what I want to bring to us is that when we think we have something that's good news, we want to say something. We want to speak it. It rolls out of us. I have several examples from my past. I can think of a lot of things, but some, one of them is bad and one of them is dumb. I remember before I was saved, I got into certain bad things, illegal substances. And I remember so much wanting to share with my brother about that. And I'm so ashamed of that. But that was the gospel for me. It's like, oh, wow, there's this amazing thing you can engage with. And I wanted to share it with the people I loved. I wanted to share it with my brother because I loved him. Later, I got to share other things with my brother that were better. And he's now a pastor in Minnesota, so it all worked out. And then another really silly one. I remember I was on an outreach center in Columbia, Missouri, I think 1980. I've always been just this weird, odd guy. But for the very first time, I used conditioner on my hair. And I remember telling Dave Kanoshek, and he'll tell you this story, that's why I'm telling you, because Dave will tell you if I don't, how excited I was about how this really made a difference in my hair. So I'm down in Columbia, Missouri for the entire summer sharing the gospel, and what I was really excited about that morning was, man, do you know there's stuff you can put on your hair? A little bit of gospel good news. You want to share it. It rolls out of your mouth. You have things like that. They are gospel to you. They are your good news. It might be a health-related thing. It might be a money-related thing. It might be a relational-related thing. But you genuinely believe, or you have a hope that it will bring good. And so there's a confidence and a desire to want to get it out. Gospel is something that's wired in us and we want to share it. Okay. So I don't know, can you look in your life and go, yeah, I remember. I really wanted to talk about, you know, this new thing. My new hiking boots. Here's another one. I want you to think through your past week. And I want you to think about what really occupied your mind, especially when you weren't just locked into something that you had to do. You know, maybe you're an engineer guy and you had to try to design this widget and you're totally consumed in the widget, but as soon as you get up to do your coffee break, where does your mind go? When your head was free this week, what did it spin on? When your head was free this week, what did it spin on? Maybe problems, responsibilities, desires, hopes. Where did it go and where did it spin? Okay, here's another thing to add on to that. Where did your feelings go? When you had a chance to just kind of emote and you found yourself getting, you know, caught up in something and there was a lot of emotions rolling in your life, what was the source of that? What caused that? Okay, do you find places you keep going, you keep gravitating back toward? They're either hopes or their problems or their hurts or their whatever, but you just keep going back there? Okay. Now, how much does the gospel of Jesus Christ relate to that thing? Because we just found one of the centers of your life. Okay? We've just drawn a circle around one of the centers of your life. And when you think now of the realities of what God did in Jesus Christ, how much does it connect? Here's where this is important. This, anything that's going to be good news in your life, truly, honestly, really, truly good news to you, has got to touch this. If it doesn't touch this, it is not good news. Hey, this is the center. This is where it's happening, man. This is what's going on in my world. And anything that connects here is relevant. Anything that doesn't connect here is not relevant. And if it's not helpful and connecting here, it's not good news. Whatever you are spinning on, how much does the realities spoken of in the Bible connect with that? And if there is a strong connection, then we are going to be able to draw out of that. There is a powerful gospel in your life that you can share. If the things really spinning in your life don't connect with it, then you know what? You do not have a gospel of Jesus Christ, honestly, truly, in your heart. It is not good news to you. It's religious doctrine. But it's not good news because what's really happening, it doesn't connect with. Let me, I don't think I've got this on a PowerPoint. I'm going to read a quote though from a book by Tim Keller and it's on preaching. But I really like this chapter because it's talking about Jonathan Edwards' thoughts on religious affections. What do we really love? And he says this, many years ago, in my first pastorate, I met with a teenage girl in our congregation. She was about 16 at the time, and she was discouraged and becoming depressed. I tried to encourage her, but there was a revelatory moment where she said, yes, I know Jesus loves me. He saved me. He's going to take me to heaven. But what good is it when no boy at school will even look at you? She said she knew all the truths about being a Christian, but they were of no comfort to her. The attention or lack of it of a cute boy at school was far more consoling, energizing, and foundational for her joy and self-worth than the love of Christ. Of course, this was perfectly normal response for a teenage girl. Nevertheless, it was revealing of how our hearts work. Edwards would say that she had the opinion that Jesus loved her, but she didn't really know it. Christ's love was an abstract concept, while the love of these others was real to her heart. That was the reality that had captured her imagination. Now, I'm not trying to pick on teenage girls. We're all the girl. We're all the girl. How often have you said in your life, I know Jesus loves me, but. I know I'm going to heaven, but. Oh man, doesn't that just convict you? And when we say that, what are we saying? We're saying, I know Jesus loves me, but he doesn't deal with what's important. Because what's important is this. And his love isn't connecting there. I mean, I might lose my job, and I know, based on my theology, I can't be sure Jesus is going to give me my job. I go to this church, they don't teach the prosperity gospel. I could be in trouble. Listen, I got issues in my marriage. Do you know what's going on with my kids? Yes, Jesus loves me, but my life is falling apart. And we go there, and what's going on is there's real issues in our life, and we can't figure out how to get from here to there. And so we know everybody needs to know the booklet. Everybody needs to know the booklet. Oh, I got to share the booklet. I got to share the booklet. But the problem is I got real issues in my life, and I got no answers that are connecting from this booklet. I got no gospel right here. Now, here's the deal. If this booklet doesn't connect with those things, then really we don't have that much to share anyway. But if this is like a seed, and I wanted to find an acorn, but I couldn't find one. If this is like a little seed, and out of this, every piece of life is touched. And that's our message. That's our gospel. Then we have something every person needs. And honestly, I think that is the issue in Christianity today. We know the booklet, and we all know we're supposed to share it. And you might even take in a class that's showing you how to draw a diagram on a piece of paper, and you really know it. But the problem is, I know Jesus loves me, but. You are surrounded by people who have issues in their marriage, whose children are going doing crazy things, who are losing their jobs. The very place you need the gospel, they need the gospel. Is there anything firing off in your life, in our lives, where we go, wow, I couldn't make it except for the knowledge of the love of God, my Father, for me, because I'm about to lose my job. And the other 10 guys that are going to lose their job tomorrow too, they don't have that hope. And out of me does there roll this immense compassion, like, how are they even doing it? How are they even doing it? I couldn't survive without my faith. And when we find a gospel that touches every part of life, we have a gospel for others. Let me share the heart of God with us. Because in God's mind, the problem has never been the world. Back to the time of Moses until this very day, the problem is always us. We're the deal. We're the problem. It is the people of God that are the problem. And he keeps talking to us. He says in Jeremiah, to those guys, he said, be appalled, O heavens,
at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. And so what are the evils? Man, this is really bad. He's telling the whole heavens, all these stars, trillions of them, that they're all supposed to be just freaked out. Freak out, heavens. Why? They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so what's the deal with us? We have issues in our life, and instead of going, God, how do you relate to this? How do you relate to this? How do you connect here? We go and we look for other solutions. We look for the same things the world looks for. We follow other gods, and people look at us and go, well, I know you got this little booklet about eternity, but actually I got huge issues in my life, and you got huge issues in your life, and your stuff isn't helping you with your issues. So since it's not helping you with your issues, why are you talking to me? Understand this. Nobody is looking for you to tell them the answers to their life. Oh, I got the answers for your life. Great. Leave, please. What they want to know is, do you think you got answers for your life? And if you really do, can I watch you? Can I watch you? Because it seems like you think you got answers. And I'm freaking out over here. And I just want to watch. And what are we called to be? We're called to be witnesses. You're not supposed to tell anybody what they're supposed to do. You're just supposed to be a witness. Hey, I couldn't make it without my faith in God. I couldn't do this without knowing that God loves me and he's for me. I couldn't handle it unless I really sensed I was forgiven. I just couldn't do it. I would totally short circuit unless I really believed I was forgiven. How much of those truths are really bolted down into our lives? And that's what God says to his people. Listen, guys, I have given you the fountain of living waters, and you're all drinking out of the cistern. You don't believe. You don't believe. You don't believe I've got water for you. And you claim to believe in an infinite God. And Isaiah said this, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And so God has created a people, and he's created a people long before Jesus. And he said, I will give you everything you need in the truths about me and in the power of my spirit. And I will make a people that can live a totally different life because of that hope. And he speaks in Revelation, I think, verses that particularly apply to us in the church today. Verses we're familiar with, but we'll walk through them here. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, right. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. And God says, I want contrast. If this works, live in it. If it doesn't work, walk away from it. I want people who believe there's something here to be found. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God says, I can't work with this. I can't work with this. I can't work with this. There's got to be a contrast. Either there's answers here or there's not. You say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. Listen, I know the booklet. I got it. And I've learned how to draw the diagram. I'm rich. And that's one of the weird things I notice about us as evangelicals is we have this weird sense that, oh, I know spiritual truth. Yeah, the only thing left for me is to give it to other people. I think God just, and what does God want us to say to that attitude in our heart? Yeah, I know the truth. I have to help other people find the truth. God says, listen, guys, you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Look at your life. You have all the same problems everybody else has. You're struggling with all the things everybody's struggling with. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what it means to be human. We're all struggling. The only issue is, do we have water that touches us and meets us there? And that's what he says. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. God says to us, listen, I have things I can give you. I have things I can give you. What are those areas in your life? What are those areas you spin around on and you go, yeah, I know Jesus loves me, but. What are your Jesus loves me's buts? What are those for you? Do you understand? He's got a claim. He's a pretty big guy. He can do a lot of things, and he's got a claim. He says, I got water for that. I got water for that. I was thinking during breaking bread this morning, you ever felt like, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, nobody does anything for me. People are always, you know, people are always taking from me and not giving to me. And then you pick up a piece of bread and a cup of a man who's given you a symbol who gave you his very life. Wow. How can I take this symbol? Of someone who gave his life for me. Personally, he gave it for me. And go, oh, nobody ever loves me. Can you find real water there? It's true. This is actually true. We have a lot more good news than they had 40 years ago. 40 years ago, kind of this was the good news because everybody knew everything else. Now we have a lot more good news. We can tell people, there's a God. There's really a God, and I can show you how, and I can give you reasons to believe it. This is so amazing. You can't believe it. We're actually in somebody else's world. This is so amazing, and nobody believes in God anymore, and so now that's the gospel. Guys, God's real. Ooh. 40 years ago, everyone going, yeah, I think I knew that. But not today. You have a father. You have a father. Ever wanted a good father? You got one. He's the father of your spirits. People might have thought they knew that 40 years ago. Not very many people know it today. And 2,000 years ago, your father brought a life into this world on the other side of the planet. And in that life, he lived everything you were supposed to live for him. Jesus brought everything you were supposed to bring so he doesn't have any expectations on you at all anymore. Everything he wanted, he got right there. He looks at Jesus and he goes, ooh, that's it, that's it. That's all I need, right there, right there. A human life gave it to me. I got it. Got it in a human life. Everything my glory deserves, everything I deserve is God, everything I deserve is Creator, he gave it. And he died as a redemptive sacrifice for sins, and all my sins were placed on that perfect life, and I am forgiven and accepted in Christ. And guys, like that song we sang, I really like that song. I forget the line about how God says he's always with us. And what does it say right before? I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. What's the words right before that? I thought, you know what? There's truth about God being our Father. When you're in your darkest places, if someone comes and they wrap their arm around you and you go, you know what? I'm with you. I realize you may lose your job tomorrow. I want you to know, I am here with you. That would mean something to you. That would touch you. You would lean into that and go, oh, wow, thanks. Do you understand? That's the reality of God. And one day you're going to feel the arm. One day he's going to kneel down in front of you. This real person, he's going to kneel down in front of you and he's going to wipe every tear out of your eye. Do you believe that's true? If you do, you have a gospel that's touching things deep in your own life. Let's just grab a couple more thoughts here. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down on my Father's throne. And I think here's our challenge. Life throws garbage at everybody. The whole thing is just, this life just gets just overwhelmingly difficult. All kinds of issues, health issues, money issues, relational issues, personal issues, past issues, identity issues. It's just a cauldron of overwhelming difficulties. Will the people of God say, I will seek my food in the word and promises and reality of God? I have made a decision. There's all these people looking for answers, all these other places. I've made my decision. I am going to look for it here. I'm going to look for it in God. And if it's true at all, I will find the gospel, and I will find good news, and I will find comfort and encouragement and power. And then I'll look at all those other people going through all the same things I'm in. Their life is a mess just like mine. And they don't have this. How are they doing it? How are they doing it? And then a genuine love and compassion wells up in my life, and I go, I have got to tell people. How are they surviving without this? I could never do it. That's when you have a gospel. When something is so real in your own life, it's so meaningful in your own life, you go, whoa, this is so precious to me. How would I do it without this? And then you look over at another person and they're weeping and you realize they're in exactly the same place you are and they don't have your gospel. You go, oh, friend, oh, friend, oh, friend, could we sit? Could we sit? How do you do it? I couldn't. I really believe there's a God that loves us. I really believe we're cared for. I really believe we matter. You've got to know that. God is real. He cares about you. And you speak what you believe, not what they're supposed to believe. You speak what you believe. And they sense there's faith in that person. They really believe it. I wonder if it's true. And you believe it because it's your gospel. It's your gospel. We'll miss that. And I want these thoughts to rest on us because they're very challenging thoughts, and I want to stick them right in your lap. I want to stick them right in your lap. And I want a lot of conviction to roll into you. And how often do you say, I know Jesus loves me, but on the other hand, I am really encouraged by the reality of faith I see in this church. And I don't get lots of windows into it, but I do show up for prayer on Thursday mornings. And when I first showed up, I thought, man, this is a room full of a lot of problems here. There's a lot of issues here. Not so much that anybody's bad, it's just that, man, there's people that are sick and there's people that are having this going on. But this is a room full of, man, these guys are overwhelmed. And as I kept coming, and as I think I watched it go, or maybe I just became more familiar with it, I realized there's real faith here. There's a gospel here. There's guys walking in all their hard stuff because they believe in God, and there's an encouragement, and there's a joy. There is a reality here of the gospel. And when I think that, you know what real wells up in me? Oh, my goodness. There needs to be more men here. Not more men from the church. Not you, not more of you guys. The guy two streets over, whose whole world is falling apart, he needs to be here. And the guy four streets down, who's going to lose his job, and the guy over here, they got to be here because they'll get through if they have this. They'll make it. If they have this faith, 10 years from now, they won't be divorced with their family scattered all over everywhere. 5 years from now, their life will still be together. They won't have blown the whole thing up. They need this faith. And there's a compassion that we have for people when we say, man, I don't think I'd make it without my trusting God. I don't think I'd make it without knowing that Jesus is for me. And in that love, God doesn't change all our problems, but we realize there's a ton of people who are not having their problems changed. But I know what'll get them through. And there's a compassion in my life that wells up for that. So I think there's some questions we need to ask ourselves. Where's the gospel of Jesus Christ good news for me? And this should be growing in our lives all the time. When you get saved, the acorn's planted. And for the rest of your life, there needs to be more and more areas where you go, this is my gospel. This is my gospel. I couldn't make it. I wouldn't have joy. I experienced so much good. My life, my hope, my love, my what warms my heart is here. And I just want to challenge all of us, are you continuing to set your heart there? Whatever you need, listen, an infant God's got it. You're good, man. You're good. Now, we want the gospel in a certain way. God, I want you to give me money and health and all those things, and people make up religion that way. But Jesus said, no, I came and I was poor, and I was familiar with suffering, and I know what it's all about, and I can come alongside you in that, and I can meet you in that. I can be the gospel in that. Will you lean into me? Will you lean into me? He is the God of all comfort. Will you lean into me? And can you say, I've found the gospel. I've found the gospel. How does that produce compassion in me for others who don't have that good news? See, that's what should happen next. Jesus said, listen, love one another as I've loved you. You need to have do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We can't just live in this little world. One of the things we have to ask ourselves is, if no one was ever affected by your life, would you still be content with your gospel? And that's a real test, right? So often all Christians want to do is share their faith, share the booklet. Well, no one's interested in looking at it, so I'm just going to live like the rest of the world. If it's really good news, you're never going back, right? If you have found true food, even if nobody else listens, you'll die so thankful. God, I'm so thankful you got it to me. God, thank you, you got it to me. Nobody ever received it out of my hand. But God, you got it to me. That's what the gospel is. So, Jesus said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Why did Jesus have that view? He had that view because he was not harassed and helpless. He wasn't harassed and helpless. He had a relationship with the Father, and he looked out and he went, oh, you don't have this relationship. You don't have this. You don't have this. First John, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What motivates us? We all need to be more courageous. We all need to be more courageous. We all need to take more action. But there is a driving force. When I believe that I have the gospel for others, I am driven in love to want to share it. And then lastly, how can I engage my life in bringing that good news to those I know who would be blessed by it? There's a great verse here. 1 Peter 3, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And I think this is there's so few verses in the Bible about evangelism. Most of us understand that and know that. Here's one of the few. And it isn't even about necessarily evangelism. It's about what do you do? You're living this life. You're living this life. You're surviving. There's a smile on your face. There's something making your life work. And people look up at you and you go, hey, listen, let's deal with this. You just have so much hope all the time. I mean, come on, give me the reason. Why are you so hopeful? They're going to ask you, give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why are you like this? Why do you do this? Why don't you get freaked out when you get fired? Why? What is the problem with you? Are you just weird? Well, maybe. I actually think there's a God who's taking care of me. I really, 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 really believe it. And it's hard to trust it. It's hard to just go, yeah, I'm locking in and receiving it, but I do. And wow, it just changes everything. And I'm so sorry that, you know, I understand the depression you're experiencing, because you're right where I would be. You're exactly where I would be without this belief that God really, really, really is there and cares for me. And they look at you and go, what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? So let's just roll through this all again. One, where's the gospel of Jesus Christ good news for me? I want us to be challenged by that. Where was your head spinning this week? What catches you? Where do your emotions go? Do you understand how the gospel relates to that? Because if you don't have a gospel. It's not good news to you, because what you really need, God doesn't provide. Yes, I know Jesus loves me, but if we're a community of people with all the problems everybody else has, we're a mess like everybody else, and yet the gospel is making life work for us, we have something for our world. If you get your life all together, you have nothing to offer the world, because they don't. They can't learn a thing from you. Unless your life is all messed up like everybody else's, you don't have anything to offer. But when you wrestle with all that stuff, relationships and health and family and identity and all that spinning around, you're struggling with it, and the gospel comes in and centers you, and you go, life. I've been rescued again. I've been saved again. Thank you, God. You saved me again. I was just about lost, where my head spins and spins and spins, and you got me out. You saved me again. How do they do it? How do they do it? How do they survive? How does that produce compassion in me for others who don't have the good news? And then lastly, how can I engage? And there's a practical dimension here. Where that love is real for you, that's a great place for you to engage. You need to engage where it's real for you. Like, you know, like it could be a marriage-related thing. Maybe you feel like God has really, really made a huge difference in your marriage. You know where you're going to be able to share the gospel very powerfully? Is things related to that. So you might either talk to friends about that. You might do a little class on marriage, because in that context, the gospel flows out of you, because it is the gospel for you. Maybe there's been forgiveness issues that have totally changed your life. Just that really sense of, I'm forgiven. God will bring you into conversations and you go, hey, this is my subject right here. I got something to say on this one. The gospel's real for me in this one. My brother shares a story about how he made a really bad abortion decision when he was in high school. Powerful story about the reality of the forgiveness of God. He knows the gospel on that one. He knows the gospel on that one. Wherever you know the gospel, that's where it's a great place for you to engage your life in bringing that good. And it might be something organized in a ministry. It might just be where you turn conversations. But it's where you know life, and it's what you have to give away. And God wants us to accumulate more and more areas where we go, hey, I know the answer on that one. At least I know the answer for me. I know my answer. Could I share it with you? And Jesus brings his light into the world one life at a time. Know the gospel. In every place you need it. Know the gospel in every place you need it. It is a lifetime pursuit. Lord, I just pray that. Thank you for how I see the gospel in this church. I thank you for that. My life is touched by the faith that I see. I am drawn. I am drawn to go, I need to walk more. The things I've seen men look into and speak faith, week after week, I know that faith is in a lot of places in this church. And I just praise you for that, God. Lord, help us love the gospel more. Help us love the gospel more. Help us be confident in the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the good news. Jesus Christ, we have a Father. There is forgiveness. There is a hope. There is a future. There is a kingdom. This is the good news for every single thing the human heart needs. And anytime we're looking for an answer somewhere else, we are mistaken and confused. And God says, that's for people that don't know me, not for the people that do. Teach me to turn my heart back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the man who handed me a symbol of his death for me. John, I died for you. I died for you. Help us to hear that from your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice. Help us to hear it. One day we'll see it. You'll kneel down. We'll feel your fingers. We'll feel your fingers. Wipe the tears from our eyes, and you'll hug us. It'll be an astonishing, amazing moment ahead for every one of us that knows you. Help us to have the eyes of faith right now. In Jesus' name, amen.